As bad as the coronavirus is for the rest of us, how much worse for those who are homeless? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Michael Fisher, who's based in Manhattan, and his website is centralparkcivicassociation.com. And we're going to talk about the COVID-19 virus and homelessness. Michael, thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, I understand that California has already experienced its first death among the homeless from this virus.
That we know of.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Tell us about this.
Well, no, I mean, the problem is that, I mean, the homeless, unfortunately, are abandoned by politicians left to lay on the street, and I hate to use the word, but rot. And they're all over the streets in California, and they leave them on the streets. I mean, if a homeless person says they don't want to go inside and get any kind of help, they won't go, and they're not. The city won't, you know, basically force them to go in. You know, they'll leave them on the street. And in this situation, I think that they need to be a little bit more aggressive in terms of getting them off the streets. The homeless people are twice as likely, or maybe three times as likely, or maybe four times as likely to actually get this illness because they have such weak immune systems.
Yeah.
And in New York, too, I mean, they're all over the streets. I mean, I was walking around New York the other day, and they're sleeping in the streets, you know, all over. They're sleeping in subway cars. They're sleeping in Grand Central Station, everywhere. And, you know, quite a few of these people could be carriers. Now, the challenge also is there's been a lot of international people which have exposed them, you know, to this virus. So we don't know how many people have it. We don't really know how many people are sick from it.
Wow.
And we don't know how many people have died from it. I mean, I certainly am not going to trust what I'm hearing from the politicians. I mean, do you?
Well, there's a fellow who's quoted here, Pastor Scott Wagers of CHAM Deliverance Ministry, who said, quote, "The coronavirus is in these camps, and I knew that was going to happen." By the way, it does seem as if there's been an explosion of homelessness lately in the last 5 to 10 years or something.
Yes, there has been, and the reason why is because there's quite a few homeless people that are mentally ill on the streets. They don't go into shelters. None of the cities, you know, California, New York City, Seattle, Portland, and the list goes on. None of these places have any types of rehabilitation programs. They have shelters. That's all. And so you go into a shelter, maybe you stay there for the night, then you go back out on the street. The homeless, the mentally ill, of course, they stay on the street. They don't go into the shelters. They're afraid of the shelters. That they get robbed in the shelters, so they stay as far away as they can. And what should be happening, and what should have been happening several years ago, was that politicians, what they should have been doing, was creating facilities. Modern facilities where people can go in and get rehabilitated, and then potentially maybe 30 or 40% of them, 50% could get trained for jobs, and then get into affordable housing. And then they haven't done that. And you know, there's plenty of land, there's plenty of vacant buildings that are owned by both the states and federal government. I mean, the other day I was in New Jersey, and I was driving through Monmouth. The federal government had an army base, Fort Monmouth.
Oh, yeah.
And they closed it down. I mean, they built some housing in there, private housing in there, but not very much. I mean, it's a huge, huge piece of property, and there's quite a few buildings in there. They're all empty. I mean, we could use some of those facilities to help bring the homeless in and rehabilitate them. So there's no common sense by politicians to really want to address the issues. And so what's happening is you get more and more people building on the streets or staying on the streets. And, you know, if they ask them if they want help and they say no, they just leave them on the streets. It's kind of an optics thing. I think politicians think that if they remove them from, you know, forcefully, and I don't like to use the word forcefully, but if they kind of remove them off the streets or help them off the streets, it doesn't look good. So they leave them on the streets. But I think it's the reverse of that. I think it looks terrible that they leave them on the streets like that. Yeah. There shouldn't be, in the year 2020, there shouldn't be anybody on the streets. And really what it creates is a good example of the coronavirus is, I mean, you have these folks that are on the streets. They're going to the bathroom in the streets. They pee in the streets. They leave all their garbage behind in the streets, and it's getting worse and worse, and it's getting very unhealthy. And, who's to say in 2 to 3 years we couldn't get a major virus from that?
Right, so
really want to avoid that.
Yeah, there's a huge problem with that in San Francisco. As you describe some of this, though, I can't help but think about a book I read many years ago by Dr. William Donahue. He's now the president of the Catholic League in New York City. But he wrote a book called The Twilight of Liberty, and it was all about how the ACLU was fighting all these different things. But one of the things that the ACLU did was they filed all these lawsuits on behalf of homeless people to basically be left alone. And I remember Donahue used a phrase, the constitutional right to freeze to death, and he described a particular homeless man on the streets of New York City who froze to death because he was in nothing but a big cardboard box, but the ACLU had, fought for his right to freeze to death. I guess homelessness is a very complicated problem, and I know that sometimes these cities, maybe they mean well, but in reality, some of the programs almost, it gives perverse incentives to attract homeless people. I think that's what happened with San Francisco. They said, okay, we'll give you a stipend if you're homeless. We'll give you, $500 a month or whatever it is. And that just attracts homeless people from all over the place. But in the meantime, nobody can live on $500 a month in San Francisco. So it's sort of all it does is just attract more people to be homeless there.
Well, I think the big problem is you have a lot of drug addicts and you have a lot of alcoholics. And then, of course, you have people who have psychiatric issues where they need medications and stuff.
Right.
And they can't really help themselves. And the government doesn't do anything really to help them out. And, I don't think nothing is simple in life, but I don't think it's that complicated where we could be helping these people out and doing the right things. I think there needs to be a summit between all the major states that have these problems, because it is a national crisis, and the federal government, we need to sit down, we need to talk about it, we need to bring in experts from all over the place, and we need to come up with solutions, but we need to get, the most important thing is we need to get these people off the streets. I shouldn't be walking around New York City or San Francisco or Los Angeles or any of these places. I shouldn't be seeing people just laying in the streets like that. It makes no sense. And now with this whole big thing, with the coronavirus, it's dangerous,
yeah.
I mean, because we're all being exposed to it, and I was on a subway car a couple of weeks ago. I personally don't like taking the subway, but I just wanted to kind of see what's going on out there. And there were some homeless people just laying down in the car, and one guy was sneezing. And you think to yourself, now that we know more about this, this virus, I mean, how many people are potentially carriers of this?
Yeah, that's
true. And
there's
a lot of people. Yeah, there's a lot of homeless people. In my opinion, this spreads like wildfire. I mean, there's probably a lot of homeless people that are carriers. And, what's interesting is, we heard about Newsom on the West Coast basically shutting down the state. De Blasio wanted to shut down the state in New York, and yet these are the same people who just leave these people on the streets and abandon them. And, the streets are filthy and dirty and unsafe and unsanitary, and, it puts everybody at risk. And yet now they're waking up a little bit, to try to prevent the spread of this virus. And I only hope that, while we're seeing a lot of bad things here and in life, as we all know, that, out of bad sometimes comes good. And I'm hoping that we can all learn something from this crisis. We can learn about the homeless and maybe be a little bit more passionate about them and try to help them out. I mean, it's just not a passionate thing at all just to abandon them in the streets. And why a politician would think, well, if they don't want to leave the street, I'm going to leave them there, when these people aren't in control of themselves, when they're mentally ill, it just makes absolutely no sense to me.
All right.
There's just a lack of judgment there.
This press release from your organization or that represents you said, governor says 60,000 homeless in state could get virus. Now, is that talking about California or is that talking about New York? The 60,000 homeless in the state could get the virus. Presumably it's New York because it goes on to say virus plan anticipates 18-month pandemic, widespread shortages, a 1,000-bed floating hospital to be deployed in New York Harbor. Yep. Tell us about the floating hospital idea.
Well, it's something that the floating hospital really is, I think it's more for people that are going to need, it might be people that are more, that don't have the coronavirus and need other things done, you know, surgery and things like that. Because I think a lot of the beds in the hospital right now are being filled with people that have, you know, potentially have the virus and need help. So I think that the federal government is sending a ship there to that's a floating hospital that's going to, you know, but I think be there for that reason. They're going to do the same thing I think on the West Coast as well, and I think that's a great idea. And I also understand President Trump said yesterday that one of the cruise lines is also offering one of their ship vessels as well.
Oh, wow.
If it's needed.
So you mean as a hospital?
Yeah, use it as a hospital. So I mean, listen, we have. You know, it's very dangerous in a hospital when you have people that have the virus and then you have people going in for major surgery and stuff. So I think you really want to keep the two separate.
Yeah.
Somebody delivering a baby and everything. You don't want them in the same hospitals.
Sure.
And so you want to keep it separate. You know, I mean, the virus is very serious. We don't know a lot about it, but I'm very optimistic that we're going to beat this thing and we're going to get back to normal. But I just hope that we all can we can learn from this and apply what we learn to real life things like the issues on the street and everything, because in this day and age, I think it's really very sad that, you know, these politicians lack such common sense. I mean, how do you have common sense when you allow people to defecate in the streets? You know, there was a guy that defecated in front of our building, and I went to an officer and I said, "Can you do anything?" He said, "No, I can't." He goes, "If I do anything, I'll lose my job." You know, so, I mean, how do you allow this to happen? I mean, it's to the point, and I know in New York City where you walk around, you know, you can smell pee all over the place.
Oh,
I mean, they pee all over the streets.
Yeah.
They leave garbage all over the streets. Now, look, I'm very passionate for these people. I want to help these people and everything, but helping them, we don't do them any favors, and we don't do the people who live in these communities or businesses in these communities any favors by allowing this to happen. It's a very sad state of affairs. What I find very interesting is when you challenge these politicians, they get angry at you. You know, they almost accuse you, you know, of being a bigot or something, you know, for making those comments that that they shouldn't be on the streets. And, you know, I come back to them and I say, guys, wait, you guys are the ones that have the problem. I mean, you're the guys leaving these people on the streets. You're abandoning them. They get really sick. They have a higher suicide rate. I mean, these people commit suicide. They die. They have a much shorter lifespan. I mean, all we have to do is help these people, help them back, you know, a lot of them, help them back into maybe getting a job, and then help them into affordable housing, give them an opportunity to live their lives. We should not accept the fact that these people can't be helped. And I almost think that politicians feel that none of these people can be helped, and they just throw the towel and they go, well, let's let them stay on the streets. It's just easier to do that. We'll kick the can down the road, and we'll let another politician handle the problem. And I almost think that happens. And the other thing is they waste – I know in Manhattan, for example, we have a mayor, and he wastes, I think there's $3 billion that he's spending on the homeless issue, and it's doing nothing to help the actual homeless on the streets. As a case in point, for example, he has this Turn the Tide program, he calls it, which he implemented his second term. His first term, he didn't do anything to address the homeless issue. And he's renting out 90 buildings from slumlords in the most expensive areas of the city, where they're going to use to transfer people from hotels into these facilities, or people maybe if they're in prison and they're getting out, early release programs into those facilities. But it's not going to address the issues on the streets. You're going to continue to get larger and larger buildup of people that are going to live on the streets. And I got to tell you, you can go to government.
We have half a minute left.
Fort Monmouth.
Half a minute left.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You finish your thought, but I'm just saying, 30 seconds.
Okay, so the bottom line is there's so between federal and state government, there's so many opportunities for us to have facilities out there, modern facilities where we can actually bring these people in and give them better lives. And I would like to see that. And right now, shame on the politicians because they're not doing it. I hope we learn something from this.
Well, maybe COVID. Yeah, maybe this whole crisis will help help us rethink how to deal with the homeless in the future. CentralParkCivicAssociation.com. Again, is your website. Michael Fisher, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
My pleasure. Thank you.